welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Wouldn't it be great if there was an evidence-based, patient-centered approach to the management of patients with chronic coronary disease? Well, we know that central to the care of people with chronic heart disease is the awareness of the social determinants of health. It's also important to practice in a manner that reinforces the principles of shared decision-making, and it also is a team sport, right? We depend on lots of players on the healthcare team to help us manage people with chronic heart disease. But still, what do we know about the new approaches to treatments, new guideline-directed management, therapies to reduce symptoms and future cardiovascular events? And what do we know about the evidence around revascularization? Well, it turns out that many recommendations for these groups of people have been updated with new evidence and new recommendations and are based, of course, on evidence. So these guidelines have been published recently in the journal Circulation 2023. It's an electronic journal, so I'm not going to give you the page. But all of these recommendations sort of help us answer the question, what are the most recent guideline recommendations for the management of adults with chronic cardiac disease? Mark?
Yeah, it's a big topic, and it was a big guideline. There were 111 pages, and thankfully, the authors summarized the 10 top take-home messages for us. And these authors, I think it's worth pointing out, often when these guidelines come out, the list of conflicts of interest and pharmaceutical connections is longer than the guideline itself. It can be 3 or 4 pages. In this case, there were 26 authors. They included 17 women. Only 6 authors reported any consulting for relevant companies. Only 1 was on a speaker's bureau. So I think a more diverse and less conflicted group of authors. So that's good. So anyway, let's get to those 10 top take-home messages and I'll kind of summarize them. I think there are maybe 9 bullet points here. So they emphasize team-based care that does take into account social determinants. They emphasize shared decision-making, exercise, healthy diet, all the, you know, mom and apple pie kind of things. SGLT2 inhibitors and GLP-1 agonists should be considered for patients with chronic heart disease, including patients without comorbid diabetes. Long-term beta blockers are not routinely recommended. They should be limited to patients with heart failure, a recent MI like in the past year, or some other clear indication. They are recommended along with calcium channel blockers as first-line agents for patients with chronic anginal symptoms. Dual antiplatelet therapy, just like beta blockers, is not a life sentence anymore. And, you know, I think we've all had patients where they've been put on these post-stent or post-procedure and then left on them for many years. In this case, DAPT is recommended for 1 to 3 months after PCI in patients with high bleeding risk, 6 months if low to moderate bleeding risk, and up to 12 months after prior acute coronary syndrome. It's not recommended for patients without recent PCI or who are more than 12 months out from acute coronary syndrome. With regards to lipids, statins are, of course, the first line. Fish oil, omega-3 fatty acid, vitamins are not recommended. On the other hand, icosapent ethyl, which is a derivative of omega-3 oils, can be considered if you've got a patient who's on a maximally tolerated statin and they still have persistently elevated triglycerides. And for those cardiologists who may be listening in, routine surveillance, you know, using stress tests, coronary CT, angiography is not recommended unless there's some change in symptoms or function. Finally, e-cigarettes get a qualified recommendation as a second or third line agent for smoking cessation. They still recommend behavioral interventions combined with bupropion, varenicline, or nicotine replacement as first line and second line therapies. So bottom line, key changes include shortening the duration of DAPT and use of beta blockers, not recommending fish oil or omega-3 fatty acids, not using e-cigarettes as a first-line agent, but maybe adding it as a second or third line, and incorporating SGLT2 inhibitors and GLP-1 agonists for some patients with chronic coronary disease.
You know, I guess the problem is always the same, which is when these recommendations come and, you know, it's taken years for them to change, and now they've changed based on the evidence. how do you get the word out to doctors? I mean, the changes aren't significantly difficult. They're just things that you have to know about and change your practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, and it's, particularly when something has become ingrained in practice, like use of a dual antiplatelet therapy or beta blockers post-MI, we now have had for a number of years pretty clear recommendations that this shouldn't be forever. Like I said, it's not a life sentence, and that the benefit of beta blockers we've known for years is really limited to that first year after MI or maybe even less, that most of the benefit of DAPT is in the first 3 months following a PCI and a year following ACS. But again, not forever. The harms of something like DAPT continue forever. Every year you take it, you still have risk of bleeding complications or ulcer, whereas mm-hmm. the benefit is really only there in that early period. But maybe some of the changes will happen with education, but I think some of it also has to do with who's going to pay for what. That always tends to focus the mind.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk in a week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. We'll be right back.